remember saying to God, God, how much do I love you? Because I think I love you a lot. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, really though, what's your evaluation on my love? And it's like the Lord brought this scripture to me and he said, remember that which you do to the very least of these, my brethren, that which you've done to me. It's sort of like God said, and it's challenged me ever since, Wayne, you love me only as much as the one you love the least.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. After the resurrection, two men were walking down the road talking about Jesus when suddenly he came by. But the funny thing, although they walked and talked together for several hours, they did not realize it was him. Here's the question of the day. How often on our journey through life is he walking right beside us, yet we don't recognize his presence? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, On the Road.
Take out your notes with me as we continue in our mini-series called Incognito. Incognito. How when Jesus came that first Christmas, no one recognized him. Incognito. I love young people, especially the little kids now that I have grandkids. They're just so imaginative. I think it's still these young children that can still see elephants in the clouds. It's young children that can still see angels in the snow and horses in the wisps of the sky. And I think as we grow older, we don't see God shapes as well as they do. There was a story of a teacher talking to her second grade class in art saying, draw somebody that you know. And so the kids started drawing these faces and things, and the teacher was going throughout the classroom just perusing the artwork when she came to one young girl and she said, now who are you drawing, honey? And she said, I'm making a picture of God. The teacher said, nobody knows what God looks like. And she looked up at the teacher confidently and said, now they will. Kids. They seem to see God better than we do. And I don't know if our eyes just go bad or God clouds us on purpose, but he becomes more and more incognito. Oh, no, not that he's absent. Just we can't see his presence as well. And maybe God is saying we should, though, and that's why he gives us this inspiring encouragement out of the book of Matthew as he talks about children. And let's read it. It's at the top of your notes if you take them out. Right at the top, let's read these encouraging words. Would you read it with me? Go. I assure you that unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Interesting. He's saying there's something about the way children can see God shapes and hear God sounds. And he says, unless you change and not become childish, but childlike. Big difference, huh? Childish? No. Childlike? Yes. Unless you become more childlike, you'll miss God when he shows up. Because something does happen to us. Oh, he's present. Always is. Because the Lord says, wherever two or more gather together, there I am in their midst. So we know God's present. So can we see him? Now, we're not sure if our eyes go bad and our ears go dull, or God just hides from us or prevents us from seeing him. Well, it could be both. It could be our eyes go a little bad and God might prevent us. Is there a reason? Yeah, we'll talk about it in a second. Well, this was the case in Luke 24 when right after Jesus was crucified, buried, resurrected, but not too many people knew about the resurrection part. They just stopped at the crucifixion. Two of them, one whose name was Cleopas, was walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, mad, upset, discouraged, dreams were dashed, because they were hoping that Jesus, this Messiah, would redeem them from the Roman government, because they were under occupation by the Romans. So this Messiah was promised to come and get rid of the Romans so the Israelites can have their own country back. But instead, he is now crucified. So with hopes bashed and dreams shattered, They're walking and complaining. Now, have you ever been complaining about somebody and turn around and they're standing right there? That's a little embarrassing, you know? Well, that's exactly what happens, except when he joins them, they still don't recognize him. And although they're complaining about him, they don't recognize him. Let's read this next portion of scripture as we pick up the storyline. Would you read it with me? Go. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from... Stop there for a second. Did you catch that? But their eyes were prevented from recognizing them, him. Interesting. Wonder why. Well, let's continue. Go. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. Why do our eyes grow dim? Is it that God prevents us, or maybe our focus changes, it's recalibrated? Because we start looking more at jobs or money or responsibilities. We start focusing in on our studies or our girlfriend or a boyfriend, or how do we look? And God goes incognito. And now remember, he doesn't go absent. See, here's the danger. If you think God goes absent, then you go weird. If you don't think God is even listening, you say things. It's that YOLO kind of thing, you know. Yo, YOLO, you only live once, so just do whatever you want to. Why? Because God's absent. Is he? Really? See, when you think God is absent, that's when man goes into an ever-tightening downward spiral into oblivion. And that's what's happening to our society today. We're trying to eradicate, push God out of the marketplace, push God out of colleges, push God out of high schools, push God out of our government so that he's not around because he's absent. And now look how foolish we've become. And it'll continue till the end of time until we understand that God is not absent. And so if you think God's absent, you say, in fact, there's a story of this grandfather, quite an affluent grandfather, and he was losing his hearing, so he couldn't hear. And so their family was there, and at a family gathering, his doctor friend was talking with him, and he said, "Hey, George, I know you're losing your hearing, but did you know that there's these little hearing aids now that are actually undetectable? It fits into your inner canal, and it actually helps you to hear in an amazing way. Would you like to try one?" He said, "Yeah, I'd like that." Well, he goes into the office the following day, and he's fit with these hearing aids that's undetectable. And when he turns it on, it's like, voila. He said, "I can hear perfectly." "Well, this is wonderful," the doctor said. "Oh, your family will be so excited." Well, he went home. 3 weeks later, the doctor friend sees George in the mall, and he says, "George, how's your hearing?" He says, "Perfect. I can hear everything. This is amazing." He said, "Wow," said the doctor. "Have you told your family?" He said, "Oh, no, I haven't told them a thing." "It's what?" "Yeah." He says, "I just let them talk. And I've changed my will 4 times already." See, when you don't think God hears, you say stupid things that could actually mess you up. No, God's not absent, but he may be incognito. Just don't see him. Well, it might have to do with our eyes, but it might also have to do with the speed dial on your heart. You say, "What?" No, not a speed dial like on your cell phone. A speed dial, a dial that you can adjust on your heart. In fact, did you know that, and you can write it in, that your heart has a speed dial? Yeah, a dial that's set either to slow or doubtful, medium or fast to believe. Slow to believe, I doubt it. Medium to believe or fast to believe. You see, if the speed dial on your heart is set to slow, you can have God right in front of you and you won't see him. As was the case with these two. As they're walking along, Jesus says, "What's going on?" They said, "Are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on?" said one of them. "About what?" "About Jesus of Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word." "Oh," he says in verse 21, "we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. And now it's the third day since he's died." Now, there were some women. They went to the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Now, some who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just like the women said, but him they did not see. At this point of the conversation, Jesus weighs in, and let's read what he says in your notes. Go. "And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have.'" Stop right there. He said, "O foolish men," what? Slow of heart. What was their speed dial set on? Slow. "Oh, you foolish men, slow of heart to believe." Continue. "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Let me ask you a question. What's the speed dial set at in your heart? Slow? Like super slow? Maybe. I doubt it. Is it on doubtful? Maybe it's on medium. Or maybe fast. Quick to believe. You see, if the dial in your heart is set on slow, he can be right in front of you and you won't see him. I hope you're doing devotions with us here at New Hope, and we have a reading program. Yesterday, we were going through Hebrews and Jude, and Hebrews 13 was one of them. And the Lord reminds me of this, about him being incognito, coming in different ways that we may or may not recognize him. And he says this very interestingly. It'll be up on the board, though it's not in your notes. And let's read Hebrews 13:2. Go. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels unaware." He says, you make sure you show hospitality to strangers. Why? Because you may not know that that's an angel that God sent. Oh, disguised as a stranger, but... Oh, I read that. And here's my journal entry. I wrote, "Lord, I wonder how many times this may have happened in my life in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, when you sent an angel to visit me, and this person was a stranger, maybe this one counseled me, or you sent him to correct me. Oh God, I really hope I did well. I hope I didn't just cut them off or snub them, because I didn't know who they were. Maybe you used the disguise of a homeless person. Or did you disguise yourself as a handicapped child? Maybe it was a stranger looking for directions. Or God, maybe you were in a disheveled mother rummaging through her purse at the grocery store in the line just in front of me, trying to find enough money to pay for the groceries she just bought. And I was impatient. I wonder. Lord, I wonder what grade I will receive on that final judgment day for my entertaining angels unaware class. Would I get a C minus, a D, F plus? I wonder, God, if when I get to heaven, you'll ask me to retake the class, and I'm now going to be in remedial angel recognition class. My prayer, here's what I wrote. So, Lord Jesus, here it is. Please help me to treat everyone as if it were you disguised as somebody else. I know you have used very distressing disguises in the past, and maybe some familiar ones too. But may I treat everyone as if it were you, because I never want to ever miss seeing you again. What's the dial set for on your heart? Matthew 25 echoes this whole sentiment when Jesus said to his disciples, you remember, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you comforted me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And the disciples said, whoa, wait a minute. When were you in prison or naked or in the hospital or hungry? And Jesus says, you see the least? No, not the greatest, but the least. That which you've done to the very least of these, my brethren, that which you've done unto me. I remember reading that thinking, huh, what are you saying? I remember saying to God, God, how much do I love you? Because I think I love you a lot. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, really though, what's your evaluation on my love? And it's like the Lord brought this scripture to me and he said, remember that which you do to the very least of these, my brethren, that which you do unto me. It's sort of like God said, and it's challenged me ever since, Wayne, you love me only as much as the one you love the least. Because that which you do, not to the greatest, but that which you do to the least of these, my brethren, that which you do unto me. That which I do the least. So I love you only as much as the one I love the least. Boy, that challenged me. Because sometimes we'll have angels unaware. Because God is an incognito God. But why? You know, Christmas time, parking is terrible anytime, but especially at Christmas. And especially now, because the Ala Moana Shopping Center is renovating like half of their shopping center. So it's cut out a bunch of parking. And people are already stressed. So I'm going to look for parking and it's just packed. So I go around once, I go around twice, I begin to sweat a little bit under my collar because people are waiting there. I just turn the corner looking for parking. There's two or three vultures already waiting there. They're like cannibals waiting for an empty parking space. So I go around a couple more and lo and behold, there's an empty space. So I'm going this one, it's to my right. Well, I slow down because there's a pedestrian walking across the parking lot. And I have my blinkers on and everything. And this lady comes in and whoosh goes into the parking lot. And almost as if she, you know, as an afterthought, she's got her nose in the parking space and she looks up and goes. And what do? You know, back up. I can't do that. So I said, Turkey. She pulls in and I'm like, what is this woman doing? She saw my blinker. I have to wait for the pedestrians. What does she want me to do? Run them over and get in there before her? What? How dare you, woman? The nerve, the gall. And then the lady gets out of her car and starts walking towards me. And I check her out. She's small, so I roll down my window. What? She walks right up to my car, and she walks right up to the window. She says, Pastor Wayne, thank you so much. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. Merry Christmas. She says, well, I just, you know, I didn't know if you were waiting for, oh, no, my heart was to give you that parking space. Yeah, from this morning, I wanted to give this to you. That's how long I was waiting. Oh, thank you, she says. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I don't know who this person was. I drove off thinking, God, what is this? You know, I drove around again, drove around. And it's like the Lord said, what if that were an angel's unaware? I thought, Lord, I hope I did good. Oh, hope I was okay. Did I pass? I let you in. It's almost as if the Lord sometimes is incognito, because if there was someone there watching me and I saw, then, you know, you'd be nice. But what if you don't see anybody? You have to dig deep, don't you? You got to dig deep. So sometimes I think God prevents our eyes so we learn to dig deep to see if the faith that you've been espousing is really in there somewhere. Do you have anything to draw from, or is it shibai? Is it all for image? And so sometimes God maybe prevents our eyes from seeing him. But here's the real question this morning. It's easy to say, well, I didn't recognize him, so we have an excuse. But here's the real question. The real question is not what will you do if you don't see him. The real question is what will you do when he opens your eyes? What will you do when he opens your eyes and you know it's him? Will you change it all? What will you do when you're in church and God starts speaking to your heart and you know it's God talking to you? Do you let him change you? You see, it's a great excuse. We can say, well, I didn't know it was God, so, you know, I couldn't respond because I didn't even know it was God. I mean, if I knew, yeah, what do you do when you do know? That maybe in the middle of a sickness, you know God is speaking to you. You know God is talking to you and you're on a gurney going into the operating room and you say, God, I got it, I got it, I got it. Will you change? And if you do, will it only be for a week? Maybe two. And then you revert back. You see, the real question isn't what do you do when you don't see God? The real question is what do you do when you do see him? Not when you don't recognize him, but when you do recognize him. Because he will open your eyes. Oh, it might just be your heart burning within you, but you'll know that it's God. They continue walking to Emmaus, and Jesus seemed like he was going to go further. And so the two said, would you just have dinner with us? Jesus says, well, sure. And so he sat down, and when they were at the table, let's read what takes place. Read this next verse with me, would you go? When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Huh. Remember that. They recognized him, and then he stepped back to see what they would do. How did he open their eyes? I don't know. Maybe they sat down, he grabbed a hold of some bread, he picked it up to bless it, and they saw the nails, the holes, the raw scars, still red in his hands. And when they saw his hands, they probably, their eyes got as big as saucers, and they said, OMG. And then he vanished. Why? I wonder why he just stepped back. Maybe to see what they would do. How often our eyes are prevented from seeing him. But the question is, if he does and when he does reveal himself, what do you do? When you know it's God.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled On the Road by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.